Ms. Kay, and Lisa, leading us today. Thank you very much. I want you to turn your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. And when you get there, if you'll stand, please. We're just going to read a few of the verses. And it says, at that time the disciples came to Jesus, saying, who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name also receives me. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the wonderful teachings that you give us in your scripture. Father, just help us this morning as we look into it, that the Holy Spirit will lead us and touch each and every heart here, Lord. And each and every question, each and every concern, you know how to deal with that through this scripture that I cannot even preach. But you take your word and you indwell it into our being, into our life, and we thank you so much for that. Just praise you and love you now and ask that you be with us in Christ's name. Amen. Happy Father's Day to each and every one of you. And we do have some things I'm going to pass out. Please don't let me forget that at the end to all of you fathers. It's amazing. We do have some gifts. I'm going to do that. I haven't forgotten that. You know how I get, though. I get concentrating on the message, and I forget some things, but we are. So happy Father's Day, and thank you for being here. I want to personally thank each and every one of you, men and women, for supporting this church, and for being a part of a body here for so long, and for continuing to do that. It was refreshing, kind of a good little protein drink, to go to the convention and see that. The first days that we were there were what they call the pastors' conferences. Of course, everyone went in there. Several thousand people as the pastors at worship and singing, and as the pastors preached, mainly to other pastors, but they preached to everyone. But sometimes you just need a boost. Many times, Brother Carroll can probably tell you, a pastor needs to sit and listen to some sermons himself. And it was good. It was refreshing. As Susan said, to see the younger people there with their kids there. Brother Connor was there with both of his and others. It was just refreshing to see that. And it just gave me a new thankfulness and love for all of you for what you do. You have busy lives. You have things going on. Satan is throwing things up in your life. And yet you come here every Sunday night, Wednesday night, and you gather to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and be part of this body so that on this corner, in this little spot in the world, that the Bible can be preached and the gospel can be shared, and you can show this community that every time they pass on Sunday morning and other times, there's cars here. And they may not realize it, but in the back of their mind, they're thankful that it's still going on here on this corner and shared. So thank you so much for that. And I did tweak my back while I was out there. Brother Larry wanted to know kind of in a roundabout way if I went to the wrong convention. But I did. We were at the right one, Brother Larry. And I behaved myself anyway. But it's okay. We had a great time. And I thought about, you know, what message I prayed about. Lord, what message do you want me to give on Father's Day? Maybe a different message from where we're at. But when I looked at the scripture, I didn't change it. Because what's it talk about here? It talks about becoming as a little child before God. God our Father. And so on Father's Day, we celebrate our earthly fathers, our godly earthly fathers that the Lord has given us, that we appreciate so much, and that have given us examples on how to act and how to be. No, not perfectly, but overall serving the Lord Jesus in the way we should be. But it reflects back to God our Father and the examples and the foundation that He gave us, starting in Genesis all the way through, of how we are supposed to be and how we are supposed to act. But the world doesn't look at it the same way we do. Of course, you can see that. And we're going to see here that they actually had a question here that started the whole conversation. That if you, we've been going through the whole context of Matthew, and if you've been following along, you should have the same response as I had a little bit. Is if you're looking at the disciples and the apostles, and if you were there, you could have sat back and said, "Really, guys? I mean, all we've been, you're going to ask that question now?" After what the Lord Jesus had just taught us, after what he had just taught Peter, after what they had seen of all the miracles and everything, realizing who he was, and Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration, of course it doesn't say they asked these questions, the others did. You're going to ask this question now, who's going to be the greatest in your kingdom? You still haven't gotten the fact of what I've been pounding in the last few Sundays, denying. You hadn't got that yet. The very first thing Jesus said, deny yourself. And what are they saying? Yeah, we got that, Lord, but we still want to know who's going to be the greatest. So who is the greatest on Father's Day? I thought about this because I grew up with it. And all of you will remember, and I can kind of see it in my mind, with Howard Cosell interviewing Muhammad Ali. And what would Muhammad say as he interrupted Howard? "I'm the greatest, I'm the greatest." And he probably was, but he proclaimed it to the world. "I'm the greatest it's ever been," right? So Muhammad Ali proclaimed himself that, at least in boxing. And then we use the term in sports all the time. Now, it's a big thing. Some of you may not pay much attention to it, but the term GOAT, they call people the GOAT in sports. Greatest of all time. Who is the GOAT? Who is the greatest of all time? And they put a lot of emphasis in that. But what truly makes a person great in the eyes of God? And on this Father's Day, we might ask the question also, what truly makes a great father? What does that? There have been many, many books written on the strength, Christian books on the strength and the wisdom and the protections that fathers are endowed with and what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to act. And there's a list of them in Scripture that's wonderful that I could give. But those God-given qualities of men are given to supply and protect our families. We know that. But what truly makes a great father? Those who stand tall and above and in front of the advance of evil in the world. Those that our children look up to and rely on. So it might be a little surprising to be reminded, as it was probably surprising for the disciples to hear, what does it take and who will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? It might have been a little surprising to them, and it probably was, when Jesus gave them the answer, those that are the most humble. That's kind of a shot across the bow back to them. And you know that they realized it right away because they just asked that question. Jesus said, "No, not those that are going to sit on my right hand or my left hand." And later he would tell them in Scripture when Peter said, "Well, we've left all to follow you." And he did tell them, "Yes, and you're going to be rewarded greatly for that." But who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? The most humble. That's a far cry from our life today. That's a far cry from what we're seeing on TV. That's a far cry from what most people teach you to live and how to live. Jesus says the most humble. The teaching that he had just given us and the denying of yourself had not yet manifested itself in the minds of the disciples. Aren't we glad they were human? Aren't we glad they're just like us? Aren't we glad because we wouldn't do any better? After all the teachings, you think they would start to get it, and they would eventually. Petros would be made into Petra. But remember this, they are human like us, and they still had that human desire. Because why? They were still looking for an earthly kingdom. They hadn't yet started thinking, as Jesus had been trying to get them to think, they hadn't yet started thinking in completely spiritual ways, which is a good lesson to us. Train yourself to think in spiritual ways. The kingdom of God, I've said it before, yes, it's here in our hearts. Yes, it's here when Jesus was on earth. But the kingdom of God is yet future in the millennial kingdom and on farther than that. That's the kingdom of God. Who's going to be greatest in that kingdom? And Jesus said, those that are the most humble. In other words, those that understand what I've taught you, that you deny yourself, then you can take up your cross, then you can follow me. Those that are most humble in the kingdom of heaven. Matter of fact, we might could have seen this right here. There might have been a little jealousy going on when they asked this question in the first place. Peter, James, and John had been invited up on the mountain. The others had not been invited to go, had they? So they were sitting down there when Jesus came back down. They couldn't cast out the demon. That probably hurt them a little bit humanly. Jesus lectured them a little bit on that. So there might be a little bit of human jealousy that's coming out, saying, you know, are Peter, James, and John going to be put ahead of us? We've given up everything they have. We've gone out to the cities like you told us to do, and we've cast out demons also. We've done this also. We've done this also. See how it happens? If we're not careful, it can happen in a church, can it? Comes on little by little that way. Well, I've done this, and yet the preacher asked this person to do this. Are they asking this to do this? But I do this and that. And believe me, I know what y'all do, every single one of you, I promise you that. But we have to be careful individually, or it turns back around to I, which is a satanic thing. So the Lord's going to do something here, which pointed me back to Father's Day, that probably shocked them. Okay? Remember the culture. Women were not thought of back then as you are now. Let's just be honest. Overall, you weren't. But let me tell you something that might surprise some of you. Children were put under that. Okay? It was mainly have enough kids to run to help us in the fields and to have enough kids to help us to do that. They might not have been mistreated, but they were not elevated up that highly in that society right then. So it was probably surprising when they asked the question, Lord, what are you going to give me for giving all to you? What are you going to give me? And Jesus says, hold on just a second. And he said, bring me that little child. And he set the little child in the middle. They weren't expecting that at all. Isn't it wonderful in Scripture to read what Jesus does, and he does things so unexpectedly? Isn't it wonderful to know that we have a Savior in our life and we think there's nothing else can be done? Jesus can do things unexpectedly in our life. He can do everything in our life. He can lead anything in our life. Jesus said, bring this little child to me and put him in the middle. And he tells them this right here. He had to have been thinking, you know, y'all are slow to learn. He'd already told them that a little bit before that. How long do I have to be with you? How long do I have to put up with you? In other words, on this plea, when are you going to get it? So now he brings his child to him, and he uses the word here, convert, again, as he's used before. He says, unless you be converted and become as this little child right here, you're not going to be in the kingdom of heaven. That's a big turnaround from what they were asking. They were asking prominence. Jesus is saying, this is the lowest in society right here, except for the beggars and the other things like that. And this is what you have to be. In other words, the word converted, I've told you before, means a total turnaround. A total turning around and looking the other way, except for the way you've been looking. In other words, Jesus is saying, you're going to have to start looking at things completely different, guys. Instead of asking, what are you going to get? The answer is how much can I give? Because who is the example sent from the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ that came to earth? What's the example? What did he say and what did he do? He came as a servant. He came not asking, what can I get from y'all, but what can I give you? And he gave us his life completely. He came as a servant. We don't need to forget, Jesus was poor. Jesus was poor. Bible said he didn't have anywhere to lay his head. Yeah, he had his mother, Mary, in the house there, whatever, but they were poor. We have to remember, these apostles, even though their father had a business and it's been built up sometime, no, they were poor. If we go back to the scripture that I skipped over a little bit, Peter didn't have enough money to pay the temple tax. Neither did Jesus. But Jesus said what? Go and you're going to get a fish and we're going to get a tax there. What's the whole teaching of that? Real quick, I'm going to go over it because I skipped it. The whole teaching of that is that Jesus is saying, we're sons, Peter. And the son doesn't have to pay a tax because the king's son don't pay taxes, do they? No, the other people do. What was Jesus telling Peter? I am the son. I'm the son of God and I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to pay the price for you, Peter. And that's what he did. But they hadn't come around to that way of thinking yet. And they would, but he had to get them there. You see, don't miss the point. In all of the New Testament, we are given the addition, or really given the bonus, of being able to see these people's lives play out from the beginning to the end as Jesus taught them and brought them all the way through, even the apostles. From their start to the beginning to their failures and Jesus getting them there. In the end. So what an example. He says, I've set this little child before me, and this is what you have to be. Yeah, we do preach. Yeah, you have to be humble like that. Yes, you have to be dependent on the Father as a little child. Yes, and all of that is correct. A child looks to the father and mother and total dependence upon them. And that's the way we are before our Heavenly Father. But what he's mostly talking about here is position, because he's comparing them. You have to be like a little child. Your position in life should not be that you want to get everything for yourself, because this life is that quick compared to eternity. It's not that. The teaching in this is, if you're going to follow me, is you need to turn around and say, what can I do for everybody I know, including those that are not saved? In humanity, I am supposed to become as a servant, deny myself, take up my cross, and follow Jesus. Not only is it just about us giving up things for ourselves, but it's servanthood. It's being as him. It's being as the Lord Jesus Christ. And on this Father's Day, what a wonderful thing to think of godly fathers, the way they give themselves, the way we should give ourselves. It's an example of the way God set it up in Genesis, the way it's supposed to be. Dads, we don't expect pats on the back, do we? We never have. We don't expect to be given a lot of extra things for doing what we are supposed to do. God gave us the ability and the yearning and the love and the want to sacrifice. And even if we don't get anything, that's okay, because we love our families. And that's what we do. The example of our Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ coming to earth. Servitude is what a father is supposed to be and supposed to do. Now, I don't get political. You know I don't, in the back of the pulpit. You know what I believe. You can read between the lines. But I don't get political. But if you watch like I watched yesterday, I watched the military parade yesterday on Fox News last night. And I appreciated that. But I thank the Lord as it was going through that he let me live in a nation that is free and has such a wonderful, even though our nation seems to be in turmoil, the Lord's in charge of all that. But I appreciated all of those that are in our military and have been in our military, and that parade, that we finally gave them a parade after 30 years of not. And I was sitting there thanking the Lord for that and what he does for that and his blessing to us in this nation. But blessings come with something that the Lord wants us to do. To whom much has been given, much is going to be required, the Bible says. And we've been given the freedom right now to take the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ forward. And to be like a child means to be okay that if you're putting in a certain position as a Christian, that if they come against us and want to lower us and want to talk about us and want to do what I told you not long ago, what it meant to deny yourself is being willing to put yourself in the place of the Lord Jesus Christ, of being talked about, of being having the shame put upon you, of having everything, to even be poor. That's the teaching here. To be a disciple of Christ and being willing in your heart to follow him no matter what. That is why God has placed us here, I believe, in America at this time, to be free to carry his gospel forward. Yeah, there's brothers and sisters in other parts of the world being martyred and going through things. But here in America, we still have the freedom to proclaim it. And we need to proclaim it loudly and for as long as we can. Amen. To be like a little child. To come before the Lord and say, Lord, I totally depend upon you. Yes, he wants us to be involved. Yes, he wants us to live our lives. But to be as that little child, as Jesus said that little child, he says, I'm teaching you something, guys. Even if it comes to the point and you're put in the position, not lifted up, not being special in the kingdom of heaven, it's not about position. I'll say it again. It's about servitude. It's about a heart that says, I do not care, even if my position in life is, Lord, way, way down, I will serve you, Lord Jesus. I will carry your gospel. I will do what you want me to do. And then he went on to say this. I didn't read it. He went on to say this. He said, but let me tell you something here. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it's going to be better for them if a millstone, you know what that was, a big rock that they used to sharpen implements. It was heavy anyway. It'd be better for you if it's tied around your neck and you're cast into the deepest parts of the sea than to make one of these little ones that believes in me do wrong or sin in their life. In other words, if they watch your life And your life does not reflect what you claim to follow me. And they watch your life, and God knows all of this, and they start living their life in a certain way because they see what a hypocrite you are in church or out in life. It's not going to be good, is what he says. But on the flip side, it's also for us. We're looked at as little children before God. If somebody comes against us in that same way, it's just not going to be good for them either, is what he says. And then he goes on here, and I want to get to this, because this has been taken out of context some, believe it or not, in history past. Some people have read these verses. If your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off. Do you know that history records that there are some people that have actually done some of that stuff, thinking they were keeping the scripture in a proper way? That's how things can get so conflicted out there. That's not what he's talking about at all. He's saying, look, be careful of sin in your life. If anything starts to take you in a sinful way, and he uses the example of a foot or a hand here. A foot can take you into places you shouldn't be. A hand can make you steal or do certain things. Yes, that's a proper teaching there. But what he's saying is, using that example, of course, is if anything in your life is leading you down a sinful way, and if you're in, look at the context here from what I just told you, if that sinful lifestyle you're in affects someone else, especially a child, it'd be better for you to cut that foot off so you couldn't get there and continue that sin than to affect other people and especially yourself. That's how serious sin is in our life. That's the teaching here. Instead of the position that you guys are asking for, you need to be worried about this. You need to have total servitude. You need to be able to deny yourself that urge to do these things that are sinful. You need to deny yourself and follow me in a way that you don't want to. Now, does God, if you were all sinners, is God going to hold you? As long as he knows your heart. What he's talking about here is in a continuous way, a continuous lifestyle. You claim to follow me, but your heart still says you want position. And your heart having that attitude, which is a satanic attitude, is pride. And your heart having that prideful attitude will oftentimes lead you into a sinful way. And if you go in that sinful way, you're going to affect other people because they see you as a follower of me. And now you're giving them that look into your life, and so they go off and do the same things. He said there's going to be consequences is what there's going to be. He says, look at it in that way to where you're serving me. He says, even in your eye, if it causes you to sin, pluck it out. Now, he didn't mention the tongue, but he could have, couldn't he? If your tongue causes you to sin, cut it out. That's one of the biggest things, but he doesn't mention that. But we get the gist of it all. So to go back to the teaching that started the whole thing, to be able to deny yourself and to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is all of these things. It's a serious thing. It's kind of like the old saying, either get on the train or get off, right? Either get on the train or get off. And a lot of times as Christians, I think we run alongside the train. You've seen in the movies or something, somebody run along, try to beside a train and start to roll, and they're trying to get on. They can't make up their mind. That's how some Christians are sometimes. Don't get on and they don't get off. And they get affected by these things in life. And they will not become as a little child at all. They will not humble themselves. They will not serve God at all. But Jesus is telling them here, come like that little child. And then we're going to see later, and he's teaching is, don't you worry about being lifted up. Because I have rewards for you in heaven. I have rewards for you that you can't even imagine. But you have to have the heart of this right here, and you'll become a servant. And you'll reap more rewards than you can ever even imagine. But it's those that want the position in life, those that want the things ahead of life, that will suffer the loss and suffer the consequences. Nor are we glad for our earthly fathers that have given us that example to follow in life, and those that we've had to follow. And guys in here, I know that you do that. We have a big responsibility. We have big shoes to fill and things, the ways that we are supposed to be. And so we need to do that, especially in our world today. The world needs to see some Christians that are different. It needs to see us living differently. I don't care if they come against us. They need to know that. They seem to thrive on that anyway, somebody coming against us. But they need to see us doing it in a certain way, the way the Lord Jesus asked us to do it. And I'm going to say something else, and then I'm going to close. They need to hear his name come out of our mouth. They hear all these things they want to on TV, the proper things to do, excuse me, in church and all this. But they hear the name. They need to hear the name Jesus Christ come out when we proclaim it, to know where we stand and to know what we stand upon. Not just to throw out a scripture, and not just to mention God in a loose way, but to let them know that we serve the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're willing to deny anything in this world to let people know that we totally and completely serve Him. And I think that He calls us fathers to do it first. Stand up and to make a stand. That's why I'm so glad to be here with y'all. I know all of you do. I don't have to worry about that. But I see it in other places, and I know it in other places. And so our prayer should be for that always. Well, we're glad that God gave us His word and the examples on how to live and how to get through this life. And then the Lord Jesus on top of that came and gave us His life, died for us that we might be saved throughout all of eternity. And that we might follow Him. And who more would we want to give our life to than Him? I'm kind of tired of mine. I'm tired of it when I kind of try to control it, because it's very tiring to me. And when I truly give it to Him, everything comes into that perspective. Amen. So as we go through the week, think about that. It's still in the context of deny. Everything from now on in the New Testament is still going to be under the context of deny, whether we like it or not, whether you like it or not. I like it. But it's still going to be under the context, deny, take up, and follow, all of it. It's kind of like an outline if you did in school, learn how to do outlines. That's it. There's the first three right there, and it never goes away. It's His whole context for teaching and His whole context for going to the cross, because Jesus denied Himself and went to the cross for us. Amen. Okay, Lisa.